Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Very perplexing to me as to why he ain't hurrying the hell up.
Lamar Jackson is focused on winning. He is not focused on winning.
That's it!
Lamar Jackson! He fooled everybody.
Lamar Jackson is a cheat code.
Action Jackson!
Touchdown!
I got you, buddy. Trust
me. Touchdown!
He escapes. Dart over to the left.
He shakes it.
Lamar Jackson!
I don't think I did much. Still got to pick it up.
We want him, he wants us.
Time will come about that.
Welcome to NFL Live. Keyshawn, Dan Orlovsky. You got Swagoo here. Dan is so excited about Lamar Jackson. He couldn't wait to get to his tapes. We're just going to start the show with this.
We got to call him Lamar plus plus plus. Hey, you got your Hulu plus 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 commercials.
Yeah, yes,
we got Lamar plus plus. Now, we're getting a little bit of like the traditional run game Lamar, right? The new age triple option, which I love, right? I can hand this ball off if I want. They got six guys in the box, not an option. So now it becomes a zone read off this defensive end. If he steps down, shoot, Lamar will take it himself. That's option number two. So option number three, if he stays inside, I kick the ball to the tight end, lead blocker on the front. But this is where he's gone to the next level, connecting all the dots. Can you get through progressions in man-to-man? I love this, okay? Formation into the boundary, four strong. I'm going to speed motion the back. Does the defensive end or linebacker run with them? Step number one. They did, so he's an X. Connect the dots to number two. Shallow cross. He's covered. Connect the dot to number three in the deep cross. He's covered. Now connect the fourth dot. Everybody has vacated. Here comes Devin Duvernay on that man-to-man progression. Now listen, a man-to-man, and Keyshawn knows this. A lot of times it's like, I'm going to pick my guy and he's going to win because of it. Look at Lamar's eyes. One. Nope. Connect the dot. Two. That guy's not there either. Man, am I going to run out of the pocket? Nope. Three. Step next to the hop back to number four. He's not just saying, I'm only going to throw at that guy because he's my best option.
That's filthy.
That is that different version of Lamar Jackson right now, and that is what he's doing better this year, candidly, than he's ever done in his NFL career.
Maturity. Every single year, you're going to get better at. You know that, Dan. They're going to break down the film in the offseason. He's going to go to the well. And now he has true receivers that are helping him out.
That's the point.
Got that makes a big difference. You know, speaking of that, John Harbaugh spoke about Lamar and his playmakers today. Listen to this.
Yeah, definitely part of the equation for sure. There's no doubt about it, Cliff. He's putting the ball in good spots for him. He's holding the ball. He's got a lot of courage in the pocket, you know, so it gives him another step or two sometimes to get open. All those things are big.
That helps. One of the big questions surrounding Lamar Jackson entering this season was, could he step up his play against the blitz? He's answered that quickly through three games this season, ranking first in the league in QBR, yards per attempt, and touchdown to interception ratio. That's after ranking bottom 10 in the league in all those same areas last season. Marcus, we all know the story, right? Lamar's bet on himself. He didn't end up negotiating a contract in the offseason. He said, fine, I'm going to just keep playing. No big deal for me. What stuck out to you so far out of
him? Intangibles. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, we know Lamar is dealing with a contract, but Lamar knows as well. And giving him credit for not letting that influence him trying to do too much, he's just being Lamar. Yeah. Right? I think he's going back to really just becoming more of a playmaker when things break down as opposed to trying to stand there and prove that he can do it. Dan, that was such a great tape because the natural progression of a quarterback that you see over long term, that's where you got to get to. But the legs, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's the dominant part of Lamar Jackson's game. When things break down around him or when he's implemented into the QB run game. Forget the numbers, all right? I'm talking to you as a defensive player. Do you know how much plan you have for what Dan just showed when one play gives you three options?
Yeah.
Three options off that play. And not only that, you're dealing with a 4-3, 4-2-40 running back in case something breaks down. So I think he's taking advantage of the full boat. Obviously, this team being healthy offensively than they were last year is starting to pay dividends. But Lamar has not only progressed when it comes to in the pocket, Lamar also has went back to, I think, his MVP season and said, when the play needs to be made, it's going to be me.
You're not forcing it either.
Yeah.
You know, he's not forcing the, I need to go be a playmaker. He's saying, okay, nothing else is there. Now I can. I think that's a little bit different
as well. It's the growth and maturity, like I said before, when
you look at the quarterback position, he's young. He comes in, he's forced into the lineup behind Flacco. He does what he needs to do. Then he learns how to mature as a passer.
Yeah.
He's only gotten better. You can go 2 years ago, he was still ripping the football and doing those things. On the other end, they wasn't catching it, though. Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, the receivers are catching it. They're doing their job. So it naturally makes everyone's eyes seem to think that he's doing something way different when he truly isn't.
That's fair.
You know,
he's doing it better.
He's doing it better.
Yeah, and more efficiently. The question will become from the people, you know, like Stephen A. is going to say, can you do it in the playoffs, right? How sustainable is this offense?
Fair.
That's a fair question.
Fair question.
It is. Because, you know, I remember sitting with Brandon Bean, the general manager of the Bills, and he said, usually when you get into the playoffs and it becomes your last game, you get exposed of what you don't do well.
Mm-hmm.
And the question will be, okay, first of all, J.K. Dobbins, healthy. Left tackle, are you healthy? And can the defense be complementary to their offense? The big question I will want answered for Lamar when they get into those playoffs, will you do the efficient or easy plays consistently?
Yeah.
That'll be the big question. Can you do it in that moment? Because what teams are going to try to do as this season goes and into the playoffs is they'll try to take away those triple option plays. Or they'll try to take away some of the things that, you know, instead of collapsing one of those defensive sides on the football field down, they'll just try to condense the pocket a little bit and really try to keep, easier said than done, but try to keep him in there. And will he do those really easy plays that for him are pointless in a way?
Let me say this too. I think the conversation around Lamar has become very polarizing, right?
Hmm.
Lamar Jackson is not above reproach or critique.
Sure. Last
year we talked about you are too careless with the football.
Yeah.
You got to fix that.
Try to do too much at
times. So as he continues to progress, we know here's the deal. As you continue to play better, as you've already been a league MVP, the stakes raise and they get higher.
Sure.
Right? Just like we talk about Aaron. We don't judge Aaron Rodgers on winning regular season games anymore.
Right, right.
It's about what you're going to do when you get into the playoffs.
Right.
Lamar Jackson has entered that conversation. So for anybody out there, it is fair to ask, what will he be when the playoffs begin?
Right.
And the reason why the conversation changed around Josh Allen was because of Kansas City last year.
That's a great point.
That's why the reason. That's why.
And it's funny because they didn't even win that game, but because they got so close, and you saw dynamic play on the biggest stage.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of the Bills, let's get to them losing to the Dolphins in Miami last week. They ran out of time at the end. It credit the undefeated Dolphins, right? But also the Bills pretty beat up, especially in the secondary. They do have Josh Allen. That helps. Here's Sean McDermott earlier today.
You look at what Josh has been able to do, and then you look at Lamar's game, and they're a little bit different in terms of, you know, their strengths maybe, and but just it's good for the league. I mean, these are two young quarterbacks that play at such a high level. They give you headaches. They're hard to stop because of their multidimensional and what they do and how they can do it. And so a lot of respect, I'm sure, around the league for Josh. And, of course, we love Josh, and a lot of respect for Lamar in this case too.
You know, it's interesting. Our colleague Mina Kimes said that watching that loss to the Dolphins, Josh Allen started to look a little bit like the old Josh Allen at times, which is hard to do. You make new habits, right? But sometimes you revert back. So the Bills coming off that first loss of the season, what do they need to do to get things fixed this week?
Teams are going to follow what the Dolphins did, at least philosophically. What teams are going to realize is you can't stop this Buffalo offense for a game, but you can try and stop it for a half. And that's what the Dolphins really did. They sent one game plan for the first half, one game plan for the second half. So the Bills offense and Ken Dorsey, their play caller, start to get ahead of that. You can't just go into the second half with the same type of, I guess, it's not a different scheme, but the way you want to handle your scheme, right? So that's a big learning moment for them because I honestly believe teams are going to copy that. Second thing, Dawson Knox. Their playmaking tight end's got to get really much more involved in this offense. Right now, he's got 9 catches. This is a great way to illustrate it. These among 50 routes ran by these tight ends, he's the third lowest when it comes to how many times he's been targeted. I mean, he's 15th in catches. He's 20th in targets. He's got the same, almost similar amount of targets as Hunter Henry, who's part of an offense that's struggling, and Mike Gesicki, and they threw the ball 18 times last week. So, really, learn from that game against Miami defensively, and then we really got to – he's a playmaker for them, Dawson Knox. He's got to get more involved in their offense.
I love what you said about the first one because remember last year we talked about Lou Anarumo. the defensive coordinator for Cincinnati,
yeah,
and what he did to Patrick Mahomes from first half to second half.
Right.
Once you reach a certain level, which Josh
offense,
Allen has reached,
sure,
you got to start making minor adjustments, start dropping Trey Hendrickson out. That's not my point, but I'm going to go here. Can't throw the ball 63 times.
Mm-mm.
And I know y'all get tired of me saying it, but you have to figure out a way for this offense to function if you're Ken Dorsey and not panic. Right? Miami was stopping the run. They gave up at one explosive play. But you have to leave tidbits for teams because now I at least have to plant it in your brain. What were we screaming in that playoff game that I referenced last year? Why won't Kansas City hand the ball?
Just hand the ball for just five
try,
hand
yeah,
five.
Just try it. So this was the first time this season where I believe the difference between Ken Dorsey and Brian Daboll lived. When we start talking about the second half of that Miami Dolphins game. And you learn from it, right? And,
yes,
and you move forward. I think that's the case. I don't want Josh Allen throwing 63 passes a game. And I think Josh Allen is a top three thrower in the NFL.
Sure.
But that is not going to sustain you if you're trying to win a Super Bowl for the rest of the way.
They've got to – first of all, they need to get more balance, right, just like they were the first two games of the season. But they got to finish games. There's too many times that when you look at the Buffalo Bills, whether it was last year, the year before, or even this year, it almost feels like they don't finish. They finished against Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
They finished against the Rams. They did not finish against Miami. They're going out of bounds at the – didn't go out of bounds at the right,
right
time.
Right.
Just little things like that, little detail that really matter that you should know going into a game, hey, this is what we got to do. We're on the road. We cannot afford to do certain things to screw things up.
Right.
And I think they will get back to that.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the only person that has won a Super Bowl. Was the details the difference in the previous year to the next one? Is that the biggest, like, thing you think more
we
than
had
anything?
We had a different coach, by the way.
Right.
Dungy was the one year, then John Gruden took over. And we clicked in the playoffs the way we needed to. We was able to be portable and carry what the running game along with Brad Johnson,
right,
you know, ducking, chucking and ducking for the most part, just dinking along the way, and our defense came to the party.
Can I just, on top of what Keyshawn said when he said
– Keyshawn.
Keyshawn.
He's trying to talk.
They
got to
get balanced. So often people think balance is 50% run, 50% pass.
It's no, not.
Balance
it's not.
Is no matter the situation, I can do either or.
Interesting.
And that's where I believe Buffalo can grow. It's not panic time, all that. But I believe that they can get to that point.
And this is good for them, right? But coming out of last season to this season, we all wanted to see, can they do something big? They went on a Thursday night. They smacked the Rams upside the head. Now
Monday
they lose
night.
To Miami. Now they got a Baltimore team with a crazy quarterback that can do some stuff. This is another test for
challenge.
You. Let me see if you can pass this test.
Yeah, you heard Sean McDermott referencing it. If you like quarterback play and like two young stars of the game, this game at 1 p.m. on Sunday is going to be electric. We're just getting started on NFL Live today. The Rams are 2-1, but this is not the Super Bowl offense we remember. Dan explains how Sean McVay is getting creative with the playbook. Plus, with health becoming a big issue for the Chargers, he's going to tell us why he doesn't agree with some of the end-of-game decisions he's been seeing in L.A. And by the way, that's Keyshawn, not Keyshawn.
Keyshawn. I might call him Keyshawn the whole show.
He's not going to like that, I don't think.
Keyshawn.
Key, you like that? No?
Look
at that thing.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Our Week 4 Monday Night Football matchup, an NFC West rivalry game between the Rams and 49ers. It's a rematch of last season's NFC Championship game. Some great stuff on the Rams coming in just a few minutes. 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Peyton and Eli also back on ESPN2. Our coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6. Pete, let's read and react with the latest news around the NFL. We begin with Russell Wilson and the Broncos, and he struggled in his first season in Denver so far, especially when it comes to completing the passes he should. So look at this. Through three games, his completion percentage over expectation, -5.8%. That's the fourth worst mark in the NFL, if you're wondering, ahead of only Justin Fields, Baker Mayfield, and Davis Mills. Pete, you think Russ and this Broncos offense is going to be able to turn it around?
I think they'll get better, but clearly the investment hasn't paid off from a scoring point standpoint. They got rid of Noah Fant. Look, here's what I would say. I'm not ready to panic in Denver just quite yet. I think as you look in this situation, they are sitting at 2-1. You can't complain. They may be the worst 2-1 team in the history of the National Football League right now, but I think over time, they could become a better, more potent offense.
By the way, Key and I actually did coordinate our outfits today. As you can tell, we're going to the country club later.
You guys look like my coffee color.
Yeah, right? Yeah, Dan, your coffee's too light. Okay, let's get to Tom Brady. We've heard plenty about Tom Brady's struggles under pressure, under center in his career, but this season, he's struggling even when he's kept clean. So through three games, Brady's been off target on 17%. You see the big number right there, Marcus, of passes when he's not pressured. That ranks 23rd in the NFL. What do you think the reason for these struggles are for Brady?
It's absolutely concerning, and I hate to bring up old stuff, but I wonder how he's feeling coming into this season. He had to take some time away in training camp. He doesn't have his requisite weapons, which is giving me a reason not to panic. If you had me, you, Boogie, and Dan Orlovsky playing wide receiver, your numbers would be bad, too, as a quarterback. So when he gets Mike Evans back and Chris Godwin and this offense begins to flourish, as we've seen them have some trouble early in seasons when he first showed up and they were able to get things going, I think Tampa would be fine. I still trust Tom Brady until he makes me look like a lie.
All right. Yeah, you've been saying that. You know, you're a pretty good tight end, by the way, if we were his receiving core. Dan said he could get open, and I'm pretty good with yards after the catch. Let's get to Aaron Rodgers. He got off to a horrible start this season, posting the fifth lowest total QBR in a single game of his career in the season opener, Dan. However, since then, he's looked pretty dang good. Green Bay's last two games, putting up numbers we're more used to seeing out of him. So, Dan, are you confident in the direction that the Packers are heading at this
Absolutely.
Point?
One, because that's how this offense is made roster-wise, and two, that's what this offense has been for the past couple years with Aaron Rodgers. They, in many ways, are a perimeter-throwing RPO-based offense. He doesn't push the ball downfield a ton until he has to. The question will be, when Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs feel like they are ready to now become parts of this explosive offense, and is Aaron Rodgers going to see it the same way? I don't think that this offense sits there and goes, they need to be that right now. They know that their offensive line is great. They have those two backs, and Aaron is the best point guard in the NFL. At some point, they are going to have to hit chunk and explosive plays. But those two young receivers will get there, and when they do, they've got the Hall of Famer ready. They will be completely fine offensively.
You told us earlier this week you're not worried about even some of the predictability offensively because it's just reliable. But I like that you said they got to get some explosive plays in there. All right, let's get to the Rams. Last season, Matthew Stafford got off to an extremely hot start that you see right here with the Rams. Through three games, he led the league in total QBR through 9 touchdowns to 1 interception. Through three games this season, it's been a lot different. Stafford's thrown more picks than touchdowns. And I know you hate to hear any negativity on Matthew Stafford, Dan, but listen,
that's
the numbers
reality.
Don't lie. And that's why Key gets to start first in this talk here. Key, what do you think is the reason for the slow start of this Rams offense?
I think, you know, when you look at it, they probably got to run the ball a little bit better. All right, they need another offensive weapon to go along with Cooper Kupp. They can't just sit and rely on Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
It's almost like Sean.
Allen Robinson's been a little bit disappointed, right?
A little bit, but it's a new environment.
Sure.
And Sean McVay can't be afraid, Laura, to go to the same restaurant, right? He can't be afraid, right? He can't. And he's teaching us that by going back to Cooper Kupp. But then on the flip side of things, it's okay to pass by a restaurant and walk in there and have something different. He continues to keep eating the same meal with Cooper Kupp, and he can't do that. The Rams are finding themselves in a different position as the season wears on. If they don't all of a sudden find something else to go along with Cooper Kupp, it's just too much Kupp. And I understand he's really good and really talented, but he's the only guy right now.
They won a Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
And everybody understands now how Sean McVay wants to operate with Matt Stafford. And that's why people say it's so difficult to do it again, right? He'll find nuance. We had some of these same conversations about Sean McVay last year. When we were seeing this offense, Matthew Stafford was throwing interceptions. I'm not worried about overuse of Cooper Kupp at all. Because
the only reason why I even mention that, because when you rely on somebody so much,
I think it's predicated on others.
But you mentioned the trust in others too.
Yeah, but what you mentioned first was the run game.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And I need Henderson and Akers to come to the party. Yeah. I need Sean McVay to trust it. I don't want Matthew Stafford. We already had conversations about his elbow. What is his health situation like? Handing the ball off, running reverses. Cooper Kupp scored on a reverse this game. And then you get to the red area, you run that one reverse, and you throw three passes into the end zone. Now, Allen Robinson, that not being in sync, that's a reasoning for that. But it's also, there's the frustration. It's also just like we talked about with Denver. Denver, line up in that formation and try to run the football and get in the end zone. Sometimes simplicity is what this offense needs. You got an offensive line. Andrew Whitworth is no longer there. Yeah. You have to – this team got to grow a little bit.
It's a little bit of a different team than a year ago.
Yeah, it's got to grow. So I think that's a big part of what we're seeing happening right now.
All right, so these guys think it's super simple and they're not doing anything creative enough. Is that true from what you're saying?
I totally disagree.
Mine has nothing to do with creative.
All right, so first of all, the Rams are treating their offensive line like a rookie quarterback. Don't be the reason we lose the game. And they learned that from week one. So that's why we've seen, a little bit like they did last year, go under center. But this guy's the second most important person on their offense, Bennett Skowronek. He is a 6'5", 215-pound wide receiver who they're using as a fullback. That time, back side blocking. This time, he's at the fullback traditional position, ball fake his way, and they leak him up for a corner route. This is a kind of a chess piece that they use a ton. Now, Keyshawn's going to go, is he willing to block, though, Dan? Can he actually block an inside linebacker so it doesn't become obvious? I don't know. For the game-winning touchdown, I think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why this guy has become, outside of Cooper Kupp, I honestly, dead honest believe, he's the second most impactful person on his offense. They put Matthew under center. They're going more bootleg, play action. They're protecting the offensive line, and this is what that does, right? What that does is it allows the offensive line to get off the ball and start to push on people. That gains offensive linemen confidence. And as they gain confidence, the pass pro will be a little bit better.
Absolutely.
The communication that's needed in the run game kind of filters into the pass game. I actually believe that their offense is doing a tremendous job of realizing this is who we are right now. And we'll build. And I'm just going to throw a little teaser out there. Watch NFL Live next week because we're going to get into kind of why. I said this about Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah.
Alec Ingold in Miami. Yep. This is their Kyle Juszczyk
Buffalo
in L.A.
Fullback, you talked about.
I'm telling you, there's a reality of what's going on in the league.
Look,
when it
Dan,
comes
you
to
don't
that
have
stuff.
To kill a guy when you block. Just get in the way.
Right.
You just get in the way.
How many teams can take a receiver, put him at his traditional receiver spot, and run deep crosses like they do at Ben
Skowronek? Yeah, he's a tweener. He's a between the receiver and a tight end.
But then motion him into the backfield and run lead iso on a backer.
But what you just showed is exactly what I'm talking about. You got to get somebody else involved.
Sure.
They were able to get him involved by sneaking him out there.
Right.
That linebacker thinks he's getting ready to hammer him, and he slips past him, run the corner.
Right.
That's creative by Sean.
Absolutely.
But you can't only do it one time. You got to figure out how to get other people involved. That's all I'm saying.
Key, when you blocked, were you more of the kill a guy type blocker or just getting the
man,
way
he
type
was the
guy?
Nail.
He got in the way.
You had the handle?
It depends on who
nail?
It was, to be honest with you, Laura. I'm not listening to Swaggoo.
He got in the way.
If
they told me to go bite, I was going to go bite. That's
yeah, you never been too scared to bite. All right, coming up next on NFL Live, after a week 3 loss to the
I don't
Rangers,
know what that means.
The
but
biggest loss may have been their quarterback. Mike Reese joins the show to give us a Mac Jones update. Don't miss it.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Previously on Countdown.
One up top. Randy Moss? That gotta be on You Got Moss.
You got Moss!
Way to go, Jalen Ramsey.
I thought of red and purple, but I went with black.
Black 18.
Hype, because that is the exact.
I've been hearing about this one player. It's been brewing for 9 months. I just want to let you guys know this baby's coming any day.
I missed that twirl there.
Don't get it. You got it.
Too many twirls. There's too many twirls.
Start your Sunday with us, live from New York at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
So glad you're joining us here on NFL Live. Great week on the show, but tough to see Mac Jones go down on Sunday and the Patriots lost to Baltimore, screaming in pain as they took him off the field. It's a much more severe high ankle sprain than we previously thought. So now you wonder, where do they go from here and what are the specifics? Well, we've got the answers for you with ESPN Patriots reporter Mike Reese joining us now. Mike, what is the latest on Mac Jones?
Laura, Bill Belichick provided this update on Mac Jones. He said he's here at the facility and he's definitely made a lot of progress over the last 48 hours, but that he wouldn't practice today. So that was the headline news for the Patriots. But then came some theater as Belichick stressed one theme.
Is the plan built for Mac to have any kind of procedure to help along with the process here?
Day by day, Phil. Day by day. That's the plan. Day by day.
Does he have a high ankle sprain?
Day by day. What do I look like? A doctor? An orthopedic surgeon? Like, I don't know. Talk to the medical experts.
What do the medical experts on staff say?
Day by day. We'll evaluate him. Day. I mean, what difference does it make to me? Do you think I'm going to read the MRI? Like, that's not my job, so...
But it's theirs, and they talk to you about it, right?
Yeah, it's day by day.
Laura, I've been in a lot of Bill Belichick news conferences over the last 23 years. We've had On to Cincinnati, Mona Lisa Vito. Now we have Day by Day. Belichick adding some theater here to the football arena. Back to you.
I love Mike Reese.
Mike, he's the best.
Perfect person to cover Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Also, the fact that, like, do we think that Bill Belichick sits there in the morning and he's like, what's my line going to be today?
Absolutely.
No. Day by day. No, it comes to him. And then he's like, oh, this one was good. I'm going to keep saying it, right?
Everything he does calculated.
No, wow. I don't think so. I think that's just his personality, man.
You know what?
He got some kind of handbook, how to handle press conferences.
He wrote the handbook, bro.
Yeah, he did.
So it's like, but you got to remember, his original boss in Parcells was more funny with it, but it's the same sort of stuff.
It's a little more deadpan.
Right? It was Saban. Hey, they got a script.
Yeah, they got a script.
The only person I know that actually practices what they're going to say on TV or in front of the media is Dan Orlovsky.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, let's get Adam Schefter in here for injury updates, starting with some other AFC East quarterbacks. And we begin on Tua Tagovailoa. What do we know about him, Adam?
Well, Laura, Tua is day by day, but he's listed as questionable for Thursday night's game against the Bengals, and I think the feeling within the Dolphins locker room is he is expected to play despite his questionable status due not to being in the protocol, but due to back and ankle injuries. Tua questionable for Thursday night, as is Jaylen Waddle. The Jets quarterback, Zach Wilson, day by day, but Robert Saleh, the Jets head coach, says he does expect to play, barring any setbacks. This will be Zach Wilson's first game of the season, his first start at Pittsburgh against the Steelers. Tough assignment in the first game back, but the Jets are looking forward to having him back in the lineup on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. As for the Cleveland Browns defensive end Myles Garrett, he too is day by day. After suffering that car accident this week, he was not at the facility today. The Browns right now are not ruling him out of Sunday's game against the Atlanta Falcons despite that car crash, but Myles Garrett is fortunate that he was not more severely hurt. And a bunch of Chargers are a lot more than day by day right now. Joey Bosa placed on injured reserve today. He's going to miss a minimum of 4 games, probably more than that, and undergo groin surgery. Rashawn Slater officially out for the year, placed on IR today. We know that Jalen Guyton tore his ACL, and then there are other injuries in LA that we know about with the Chargers, but there is no team in the league that is dealing with more injury adversity than Los Angeles right now.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I realize the injury bug can sound cliche, but sometimes teams just get hit with it. It seems like bad luck. Thanks to Adam doing his very best Bill Belichick impersonation there, too. Marcus, these Chargers were your preseason Super Bowl pick. I hate to bring that up, but
it's
I know
your
we're
fault?
Not like that far through the season here, but have your expectations changed with all these unfortunate injuries? It's okay, big fella.
I wanted to come on and say no, but I can't. You can't possibly
can't.
Say.
Look at that list. We should throw that, it back up that, there.
And we're not talking about just a list. We're talking about dudes that literally contribute to the most important guys that contribute to you having an opportunity to make a Super Bowl run. Rashawn Slater, obviously. You talk about Bosa being, like, it's so critical. Mm. And I think a lot of people look down the road, and, yeah, you can bounce back. But the way the playoffs are structured, how important it is for you to try to position yourself for your role towards the playoffs, it's just difficult to say that a team that's going to have their best pass rusher out for 4 weeks, you got torn rib cartilage in your quarterback, you just lost your left tackle, Keenan Allen is coming back off of a hamstring. We don't know how impactful he's going to be, even though that's good news. It's just difficult to say. Like, players matter. I know we like to say next man up, and we gonna fight through this and go through it. No, you don't. It's certain guys that you ain't fighting through. It's certain dudes that you ain't replacing, and they are critical to what you do on the field. And the Chargers, quite frankly, struggled against the Jacksonville Jaguars with Joey Bosa.
Got whooped for
a majority of that game. So I think I got to figure out something else.
Uh-oh. Sorry. Yeah.
So how do they, moving forward, how do they contend in the division, you know, that's loaded, in a conference that's loaded? We are literally a week away from being a quarter way through the season.
Yes.
That's a very real thing. Mm. How do they get healthy and then start to play their best football when it matters the most? That's kind of what these injuries really encapsulate. Can we still keep afloat in the AFC West? That's a difficult decision with left tackle, quarterback, J.C. Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want to change your identity. You know, their identity is Justin Herbert can make plays for us. We like to try to push the ball downfield. They don't do it enough. But you have to change your philosophy of how you're going to do it, right? The philosophy is, well, we can't just leave our left tackle out by himself.
Yep.
Maybe we can't play as much man coverage as we wanted to without J.C. Jackson and Joey Bosa rushing. So your identity stays the same, but Brandon Staley and his staff got to figure out philosophically how are they going to try to contend, get healthy, and, you know, start playing good football near the end of the season.
They have the Texans, then they have the Browns and the Broncos, coming up. Something caught a lot of people's attention in the game against the Jaguars. Brandon Staley, the head coach, leaving Justin Herbert into the game. They trailed by 28 with 5 minutes to play.
Why?
Yeah,
why
what
would
were
you
your
do
thoughts?
That? But don't just go to the Jags game. Go all the way back to Kansas City at the end of that game. Yes, I know you still had a chance to possibly pull it off after the pick six, but he's hurt. So you got to get him out of the game. You realize he didn't want to have any real part today. He might have said, leave me in, coach. But he threw the ball on the ground. Was like, I can't do it. So you need to understand that and notice that as a coach. Now fast forward to the Jacksonville Jaguar game. You're down by 28. 4 minutes and some change. Your answer to people's question was, well, he wanted to be out there with his teammates. Well, he was out there with his teammates for 3.5 damn quarters. Why would you have it, put him in that situation? Franchise quarterback. $400, $500 million guy when his time is up, whatever that number's going to be. Left tackle gone. Left tackle gone. 15 years of quarterback potentially for the Chargers, Phillip Rivers, like, and you're putting him in harm's way. What if he'd have got hurt, Dan? Then what?
I disagree with you to start.
No, you cannot.
No, to start. I think you make a good point, though, with he's been out there enough.
Get to
the future. No, I think that's fair.
Sometimes you're not going to win the game.
As the coach, you got to be the one that says, all right, I just got to take you out whether you want to be
protect
in there or not. Like, protect you from yourself.
But he's smarter than everybody as a head coach. You go back to last year, he lost at least three games because of his decision making. And it could eventually catch up to him. Whether players are in or out of the lineup, I want to see, can he be a Harbaugh type? Harbaugh teams just fall apart, but he could still figure out a overall, way to win. Overall arching is this, because, Key, you make a great point. The decisions are going to be called into question from Brandon Staley. And we, like, the expectation of this team coming into the season,
Super Bowl,
and you have an abysmal season, that everybody understands injuries. But it's also, to your point, how do you handle those injuries?
Those owners didn't spend all that money in the offseason on re-signing players and giving Mike Williams money and bringing in Khalil Mack for them to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, hopefully he'll learn from that one, man, because I agree with you.
Yeah, and speaking of those injuries, I think this number really puts it into context. The Chargers defense had 6 sacks in week 1, Since then, they have one sack in their last two games combined. They're completely decimated on that defense. We talked about the offense, too. But either way, you know it all starts and ends in the trenches. So speaking of that, we head to the trenches next. Dan and Marcus are going to talk about the best battles we'll see in week four. Spoiler alert.
Look, I just watched you so well.
Going to be very proud. I love the trenches. I love the big men. You know it?
Yeah. The beast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's hit the trenches with the boys over there. O-line, D-line.
Into my soul, I wanted to be an offensive lineman when I was a kid. You know, I wanted to be tough. So I wanted like to that? Eat like the offensive lineman. I didn't. The matchup.
Oh, we got him. Take it right down.
Oh, my this goodness. This is a matchup of heavyweights. I'm in the trenches with wolves and the lions and snakes,
but I promise I always prevail. Dan only 140, right, but he'll block your face off.
Did you just say Dan's only 140?
I need to get swaggy with the house. I told my son the other day, I said, get in your stance to block. And he went down like this. I said, good Lord, I need to swaggy to come over the house. We got O-line, D-line, the big fellas become even more important as this season is going, these matchups. We're going to start number 5, Robert Quinn versus Andrew Thomas of the New York Giants. Big time matchup.
First of all, Robert Quinn, known as one of the better pass rushers, generating pressure at a 31% rate. Thomas is phenomenal.
Playing good, right?
Playing really good, keeping people off the quarterback. If I'm Matt Eberflus in this defense, I'm going to go test Robert Quinn over there on Evan Neal based on what we saw.
Let's go to number 4 to a surprising team. Not the Philadelphia Eagles, but the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah. Their interior guard, Brandon Scherfus and Fletcher Cox.
Fletcher Cox, 3 sacks on the season. But first, you have to handle this run game. They are coming off in double team, super physical. Obviously, Trevor is athletic enough to kind of get out of harm's way. And Big Fletch doing what Big Fletch does.
Sure. Physical and pushing the pocket. Them, man.
Oh,
big
absolutely.
We're going to put your guy 98 up. Jeffrey Simmons versus Quentin Nelson. This one, like, the nastiest matchups in the league.
Oh, my God. You got the 3rd-ranked run stopper, I think, and the 5th-ranked block win rate in Quentin Nelson. But beyond all of that, Dan, beyond numbers, this physicality. Like, this old school football. This
gets your hands knocked back.
Both teams got to win. Yeah, this is a phenomenal matchup for us to get in week 4 this season.
You guys know I love Wyatt Teller. Yeah. I think he's one of the best, if not the best, guards in all of football. But they ain't been up here that much. So we're going to go to the Atlanta Falcons and put one of the best interior rushers in the league, right?
I always feel terrible that we don't pay enough attention. Right. I wish he was on a team that was doing a significant thing during the season. But Grady Jarrett is not. Look, we talk about motor.
Internal pressure.
But he has that body, bro. Yeah. I played with Leroy Glover. It's almost like a wrestler's body. There's no surface. It's no surface for you to get on Grady Jarrett. His hands are great, and his quick twitch is wonderful coming off the line. Why I got his hands
probably full. The number one and going to be the most impactful, the big-time free agent signing, Armstead versus Trey Hendrickson, who's absolutely superstar.
And Trey does not switch much, so he'll be lined up on Terron Armstead. And obviously, we know what this offense is in Miami. Tua's getting the ball out of his hands quickly. Yeah. They move around both. So opportunities are few and far in between. Terron Armstead is a technician, a superior athlete. If you look at his ankles, they're smaller than Boogie's.
Yeah.
And Trey Hendrickson is a powerful guy, great hand usage. It'll be a good battle to see some old-school dudes that know the position very well to see who can win and get one.
I got cankles, I don't know what it's like to have skinny ankles.
That's why you ran a 4.478 in the 30.
I'm looking at my ankles like I don't know if they're that small. I think y'all might have smaller ankles than me. We'll have to test that out. All right, listen, what's going on with the Saints right now? They dropped to 1-2. The injuries are piling up. Marcus picked the Saints also in the Super Bowl, so he picked the Chargers and Saints. Well, you know, I'm just telling the people in case they forgot. Saints offense has struggled early this season, averaging just 17 points per game. New Orleans actually ranks dead last in offensive efficiency, and turnovers have been a big reason why they lead the league with 9 of them. Jameis Winston had help in that regard, throwing 5 interceptions, tied for the most in the NFL. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Those interceptions have come late in games, and he's trying to do a little bit too much. So, Adam, the Saints have a bunch of injuries. What's the latest there?
Well, let's start with the quarterback, Laura. Jameis Winston did not practice today. He was held out of practice just as he was last Wednesday when Andy Dalton took all the reps. And last week, the Saints weren't sure that Jameis Winston would be healthy enough to make it to Sunday. He did. And now they think he'll be healthy enough once again to be able to start against the Vikings in London on Sunday. Now the question becomes, will he have both his wide receivers? Because neither Jarvis Landry nor Michael Thomas practiced today. Landry is dealing with an ankle injury. Thomas dealing with a foot and ankle injury as well. And so there are wide receiver issues to go along with the quarterback issue. Some real problems for the Saints as they get ready for a big international game in London on Sunday.
Yeah, Keith, the offense obviously beat up. How can they turn it around after their slow start?
Well, it's hard when you got a quarterback with a bad back. I think Andy Dalton might be the answer for a couple weeks, and let's see what happens. I don't know about the receiving corps, but the defensive side of the ball can do this for them. If they can create the turnovers and do some of the same things that they did against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and get just enough points, then they turn things around because that particular division is not strong.
Yeah, Marcus brought this up earlier. Got to get Taysom Hill going a little bit, maybe. Yeah, that can make a difference.
I forgot he was on the team.
But we shouldn't forget he's on the team, right? He's a unique weapon to have. All right, coming up on NFL Live, we'll see Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes go head-to-head this weekend. But our guys say the Bucs' defense will be the real star of this game. Listen, they have been the star all season long. More coming on NFL Live.
Still running. I'm still hungry. Hungrier than ever. I feel unstoppable.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Here on NFL Live, let's get to Chiefs at Bucks on Sunday. So many different ways you can look at this game when you think about Tom Brady and the way that offense has looked hasn't been real pretty. The Chiefs suffer a loss last week. They'll be looking to right that ship. And when you think about marquee matchups, you got Marcus Spears. We have a movie premiere here for your marquee matchup. Wave to all your fans, Swag. What is the matchup you're most excited for in this game?
Y'all, I want to go here first. And it's a phenomenal graphic. It's beautiful. Me and Laura hosting this award show. Marquee matchup, Lavonte David and Devin White taking care of Travis Kelce in this passing game. Because I do want to continue to see if Patrick Mahomes has a go-to guy outside of Travis Kelce in this offense. We saw last week he tried to get the ball to Juju, threw it a little bit behind him, ended up in the interception late in the football game. These are two of the better cover linebackers in the NFL. They also can run with Travis Kelce. So this is the matchup I want to see if Todd Bowles decides I'm going to take Travis Kelce out of this offense. Does Patrick Mahomes have the other guys, the others, the Juju's, the Marquez Valdez-Scantlings of the world? Will they be able to step up minus the great Travis Kelce at tight end?
Mahomes said before the season started he'd be spreading it around. We've seen that work some of the time and then not as much at other times. They missed Tyreek, you thought, last week. All right, one key matchup to watch in this game will be the Buccaneers blitzing Patrick Mahomes. Since the start of last season, Mahomes has torched defenses when they blitz, passing for touchdowns at more than double the rate. when he faces a standard pass rush. He also picks up a first down on half of his passes when blitzed. Over that same span, no team is blitzed at a higher rate than the Bucs.
Oh, Lord.
So, Adam, we know that this game is supposed to be played in Tampa Bay, and we're thinking about everybody going through the effects of Hurricane Ian right now. What impact may the hurricane have on this game, Adam?
Well, obviously, the safety of everyone down there is most important. But from a football standpoint, the NFL is monitoring the hurricane to see if the game can be played in Tampa on Sunday night between the Buccaneers and Chiefs. If it can't be played in Tampa, the league would move it to Minneapolis on Sunday night. But it'll be in the Sunday night window. And the question will be whether it can be played in Tampa, depending on this entire hurricane.
Yeah, again, hoping for everyone's safety and just thinking about everyone going through this right now. Scary stuff. Dan, when you think about what makes sense in this game for both sides, back to the football side of it, what comes to mind?
You talked about Patrick being the greatest quarterback ever versus pressure, and then Tampa defensively being a high-pressure unit with Todd Bowles. They lead the league in sacks when they blitz. There's really two theories offensively when teams decide to blitz you. Block them up and try to hurt that pressure, or get it out and survive. And Kansas City often is the latter. Get it out and survive. Patrick always knows, all right, if I get pressure, where's the out? How can I get the ball out of my hands? And Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy do a great job of giving the options. The challenge is going to be, does Tampa Bay take it away? You know, Tampa Bay knows how good Patrick is in this world. So he, in many ways, has got to be prepared for pressure coming. They took away the first option. What do I do with my second option? And then there's going to be moments where he decides, this is when I'm going to hurt you. Create and put the ball over your head.
I would say, Todd Bowles, don't change anything at all from what you do. Don't deviate. If you got pressure, bring the pressure, because there's no Tyreek Hill catching a shallow cross and throwing up the deuces. So you don't have to worry about that. You rally, come up, and make the tackles. And you look at the Green Bay Packer game, one of the things that they didn't do is they missed tackles.
Sure.
Okay, on those wide receivers. Yeah. I don't know that that'll happen again against the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to double Kelce at times, and I'm going to make the other guys try and beat me. They're not going over the top.
That's the point, Key. Like, they for Kansas City to at least hurt this pressure package, to stop doing it so much, he's going to have to hit somebody deep down the field, because that's usually what scares defenses out of their pressure package doing it a ton.
And you wonder who the candidate for that would be.
MVS. I mean,
we'll have to find out. MVS, a good one, but how consistent will he be? All right, we're just a day away from the beginning of week 4
catch
in
it.
The NFL.
Catch it.
Bengals and Dolphins.